Welcome back to this week's Shir in the Rav Hirsch on Torah series. And this week is Parshas Yisro, which of course features the Aseres Hadibros and Matan Torah. And we'll begin in the middle of Perek Yud Tas in Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, where this is already after the people have agreed to become the special, unique people of Hashem, and accept the Torah. So now Hashem instructs Moshe, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe and Pasuk Yud, Lech el ba'am v'kidash tam hayam u'machar. Go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. V'chibsu simlosam, have them wash their clothing, v'hoyun to purify themselves. V'hoyun nechonim layom hashlishi, let them be ready for the third day. Ki vayom hashlishi yered Hashem le'enei kol ha'am al har Sinai." For on the third day, Hashem will descend in front of all the people on Har Sinai. You shall set a boundary for the people around the mountain, saying, "Hishamru lachem alos baharun goa bekotzehu." Be careful regarding going up on the mountain or touching part of it. Bahar mosimas, whoever touches the mountain shall surely die. So here we read about the preparations which begin prior to Matan Torah, which we know today as the Shlosh Esimei Hagbalah, the 3 days of fencing off, in the sense that they were fenced off from the mountain. But this fence around the mountain signifies the preparations that were begun in 3 days prior to Matan Torah. And so Rav Hirsch attempts to explain why was there a need to prepare the people for Matan Torah. And he explains that the main significance of the preparations are the symbolism that they contain, signifying that the Torah did not come from within the people, but that Hashem, so to speak, remained in his place from where he was outside of the people, and his word came to them from without, instructing them on how to live their lives. The Torah is not a human creation. It is purely from Hashem. Hashem devised the Torah and the mitzvos, gave them to us, and we have to adapt ourselves to them. And because there is such a wide gulf between who we are and the giver of the Torah, Hashem, and we have to prepare, we have to change ourselves, to adapt ourselves to Hashem's standards of Torah and mitzvos, that was symbolized through the preparations that Klal Yisrael underwent for 3 days. The 3 days of getting ready to change themselves, to make themselves better, before they could be ready to accept the Torah and live a life of Torah. And precisely because the Torah is from Hashem, is what gives it its tremendous value compared to other religions and religious doctrine, Rav Hirsch says, because the fact that it comes from Hashem, who is above creation, is above all mankind, means that Torah and mitzvot are objectively good. They are objectively the right way to live life. And that differentiates Torah from all other religions, because all other religions are of human origin. And because people designed them, so they're limited by the knowledge and beliefs of that time, by the morals and manners that people had, or that people accepted as the truth at the time of the origins of these religions. And so they are subjective, in a sense, just expressing human conceptions of Hashem. They don't attribute the law and doctrine of a divine origin, and they cannot, because there is no Matan Torah, no clear proof to the divine origin of their doctrine, then their doctrine is merely subjective. And because it's subjective, it's subject to change as time goes by, and morals change, and as their knowledge of the world changes. Just like Rav Hirsch says, just like other aspects of human civilization, science and art are constantly updated with the passing of time, and what's in vogue now is not necessarily popular later on. So times change, and humans are not all-knowing and cannot and so what is created by human beings changes as time passes. But that which is objective and comes from a higher being, the Torah, that means the Torah is the goal of all progress, as Hirsch writes. It's the goal of all these conceptions are to it should be to arrive at an objective standard, which we have an objective standard because Hashem gave it to us. And thus the Torah is immune to progress because it cannot be changed. It is given by Hashem, who does not change and is not impacted by the vicissitudes of time. And the Torah is immune to progress, whereas progress has to adapt to the Torah. So with this understanding of why it is important to realize that the Torah comes from Hashem and how that differentiates it from all other religious doctrine, is we also see now what Hashem's plan was by giving the Torah to the Jewish people. We know that the Jewish people were characterized as Am Kshei Oref, a stubborn people, a resistant people. And the very proof of Hirsch writes to the divine origin of Torah, rather than saying that the Torah is something that came from within the people and Klal Yisrael came up with what they thought to be a good standard of rules, a way to live life, and codified it in the Torah. The proof to that is the resistance of the people. If the people had created the protocol of Torah, then they would not resist what it said. But because they resisted, show that it did not come from within them. It's from a divine origin. And the Torah did not come from within them, but was given to them. And it was a struggle for the Torah to win over the people because they were Am Kshei Oref and resisted, because it is difficult and because it is a challenge, it was hard. But what Hashem wanted to do was have the Torah win over the most stubborn of all nations, the Jewish people. If we, as stubborn as we are, as Am Kshei Oref as we are, can adapt ourselves to the Torah and bend our will to Hashem's, then certainly the Torah can win over all the other nations of the world. And it will, over time, through our example. If we can do it, so can they. That's the model we set for the rest of the world. So, this is why Klal Yisrael needed 3 days of preparation. And this preparation was to encompass all aspects of their lives, their bodies, their clothing, everything they had, because they were, in a sense, being reborn. This rebirth was to affect their entire lives. They had to understand that in their current state, as human beings, they were not ready to receive the Torah and be on that level, but they would have to change themselves and adapt themselves to an outside objective standard, the standard being Torah mitzvot that comes from divine origin. They would have to adapt themselves to it, and so they had to spend time in the days preceding Matan Torah preparing for a life of Torah, indicating that it would not be it's not naturally part of them, but they would have to adapt themselves and bend their will to that of Hashem and really change their entire lives. And that's the symbolism of the Hachana, of the Shlosh Yesim HaGbala. The HaGbala itself, the fencing off of the mountain, also underscored this point. Because when Hashem was causing his divine presence to descend upon Har Sinai, that meant the mountain was now part of the divine, and the divine is completely separate from us. We cannot relate to the divine. And there's a physical separation that symbolizes the separation in terms of what we can relate to mentally and theoretically, and that the Torah is not from us. The Torah is from Hashem, and no man, no animal can be on Har Sinai when the Torah is given to which would give off the impression that the Torah is coming from a person or from somebody outside the divine. Only the divine, only Hashem, can be on Har Sinai when the Torah is given from there. After the Torah is given, then the people can go on the mountain. But for the moment that the Torah is being given on that mountain, nobody else can be there, because the Torah comes from outside of us. The Torah comes from Hashem, from a divine origin, and is given to us, and we must adapt ourselves to that. It is not something that is from within us. And the fencing off of the mountain was arranged to illustrate that the Torah is not from us. It is beyond us. It is divine, and we have no relationship to its origins. And this is the idea behind the 3 days of preparation leading up to Matan Torah. The Aseret HaDibros themselves begin, as we know, with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. That's the first of the Aseret HaDibros. And Rav Hirsch differs from the traditional translation, which we normally translate Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Rav Hirsch does not like that translation. He says that's not what it means. What Hashem is saying here is that despite all the upheaval in nature, as we know, there was thunder and lightning, the earth was shaking, and Hashem's voice proclaims, Anochi, that I, Hashem, am the sole source of existence for this entire universe that is trembling before me, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I, the personality behind the entire world, will be Hashem, your God. So he says that it's signifying a personal relationship to Hashem. The Elokecha is the key here. It is not that I am Hashem, your God, but that I, Hashem, shall be your God. And this is the essence of this is the essence of Kabbalah's Olam Malchus Shamayim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not just a statement. According to some Rishonim, it is a statement, but according to most Rishonim, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we are commanded to be mekabel Olam Malchus Shamayim on ourselves. The Rav Hirsch defines Kabbalah's Olam Malchus Shamayim as not just belief in the existence of Hashem, but a belief a knowledge that Hashem is my God, my personal God, and that He has a hand in my life. And we talked about this last week in our shir. We talked about Yira and Emuna, and how the trials in the Midbar were meant to bring this lesson home to the people that Hashem was involved in their daily lives, guiding them. And that's what Anochi Hashem Elokecha means. Anochi Hashem Elokecha means I, Hashem, shall be your personal Hashem. And that you shall recognize that I guide your lives. Each individual has to recognize that he's created by Hashem. And Hashem gives him everything that he has, whether it's from within, his personal character, his personal his talents that are innate within him. And also his possessions and his life circumstances and everything around him, and that Hashem guides him always. That is the fundamental belief of the Torah. That is the first day of Aseret HaDibros. That's Kabbalah Olam Malchus Shamayim. The belief that our connection to Hashem is not the fact that he created the world thousands of years ago and therefore I owe my existence to him. But the belief, that's not the fundamental belief. The fundamental belief of Anochi Hashem Elokecha is that my connection to Hashem is because He gives me everything that I have right now. And every breath I take is because Hashem wills it. And every moment I exist is a gift from Hashem. And because of that, the duty to devote every moment of my life devolves upon me. Because Hashem has given me everything, and therefore I must use that which Hashem gives me to serve Him. And so Rav Hirsch writes that the main point of Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not knowledge of Hashem's existence, but the awareness and the acknowledgement that He is my God, that my fate is in His hands alone, and that He alone establishes the work of my hands. And that's a quote from Rav Hirsch's Perush here. And Rav Hirsch goes into more detail about this in the first chapter of Chorev, which is about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And here he elaborates on what he describes here in the Perush on Chumash, that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is not about a belief in Hashem's existence, but a belief in a personal relationship with Hashem. And so, and Rav Hirsch ties it here to this pasuk as well, to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And he writes, and I'm going to quote from paragraph 4 in the first chapter in Chorev. I, the Lord, am thy God. I am your creator, your lawgiver, your judge, the director of your thoughts, your feelings, your words, and your actions. Every one of your internal and external possessions has come to you from my hand. Every breath of your life has been apportioned to you by me. Look upon yourself and all that is yours as my property, and devote yourself wholly to me, with every fraction of your property, every moment of your time, with mind, feeling, bodily strength, and means, with word and action. With the instrument, be the instrument, the agent of my will, with all that has accrued or will accrue to you, and so join freely the choir of creation as my creature, my servant, as a man and an Israelite. And this is the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim that we express in our Kriya Shema, where we say, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol me'odecha, everything we have, from within, from without, even the very life that we have is from Hashem. And therefore we must dedicate it in the service of Hashem, using it for His purposes. And this Anochi Hashem Elokecha, this requirement that Hashem shall be our personal God, and that we should be aware of that and acknowledge that everything we have is owed to Him. The basis for that is Asher Hotzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. The fact that we witnessed Hashem's salvation in our lives, intervening on our behalf in Mitzrayim, sending terrible punishments to Paro and to Egypt because of what they did to us, and personally rescuing us from Mitzrayim through Makas Bechoros and Kriyas Yamsuf. And because of that, we owe our freedom to Him. We owe everything to Him. And we entered from the service of Paro into the service of Hashem. And because of that, we, based on Tzias Mitzrayim, we see the personal relationship that we have with Hashem, and we should appreciate it. And because of that, we should take to heart Anochi Hashem Elokecha and be mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, not just in a theoretical sense and not just based on the fact that Hashem exists, but because of what we see in our own lives. And we clearly see the Yad Hashem in our own lives, and we acknowledge it as such. And this can explain why Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem identifies Himself as Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim and not Hashem of creation. Because Hashem of creation is this impersonal God who brought everything we see into being many years ago, many millennia ago. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicho Me'eretz Beis Avadim tells us that Hashem is not just a creator removed from the world, but is someone who guides every moment of our lives. And therefore, we have a responsibility to take everything that He gives us and use it the way in which He intended us to use it and the way that He dictates us to use it. And that's why this is the fundamental belief of Torah. And therefore, it kicks off the Aseres HaDibros. I'd like to share with you Rav Hirsch's explanation of Kibud Avim, which I find fascinating, especially how he fits it into the context of the Aseres HaDibros here. As the fifth of the Aseres HaDibros, the conclusion of the Dibros that we traditionally associate with Bein Adam LaMakom. So Rav Hirsch explains that the basis of our belief in Hashem and the basis of our emunah is, of course, historical fact. Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we just discussed, Matan Torah, which we know where our ancestors heard the voice of Hashem and experienced His presence firsthand. And because Hashem revealed Himself through Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, we know through historical fact that Hashem exists, that the Torah is from Him and is true, and that is the basis for our requirement to follow the Torah. This historical fact is, of course, perpetuated through tradition by Mesorah, from father to son, parent to child. Our parents have told us that their parents have told them, that their parents have told them, that their parents told them, and so on and so forth, all the way back until the ancestors who themselves stood at the foot of Har Sinai and heard the voice of Hashem. And we know this to be true because our parents have told us so, and their parents told them. And this train from tradition began in Matan Torah and continues to us this very day. And this tradition, as we just described, is dependent on the relationship between parents and children, and the children's respect for parents, and the children's willingness to accept what their parents have to say. Without that relationship between parents and children, and the way that children view their parents, Jewish continuity would be in jeopardy. And the chain of tradition would be broken. Even if you have children, but the children are not willing to listen to the parents, or the children don't see any value in what the parents have to say, then all of a sudden, the continuation of Torah Yisrael is in jeopardy. And so Rav Hirsch writes that Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is the basic condition for the eternity of the Jewish nation. And because of that, to ensure the survival of the Jewish nation, the Torah institutes this concept of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, of honoring parents, so that the children develop a respect for parents, and the children recognize that beyond just their physical existence, which they owe to their parents, but they also owe their connection to the past and to the historical fact that serves and the historical foundations of our people. And parents transmit to their children this historical fact, Jewish history, the Torah, and how they must act. And in order for this to be to work, to take hold, for this tradition to be maintained, children should look up to their parents, and children should respect their parents, and that way they can pass it down to their children, who will respect them and look up to them. Without this special relationship, Jewish tradition falls apart. And through Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, we express our appreciation for the important role that Hashem has assigned to our parents. We understand that our parents are not just those who, besides just giving us our lives, but our parents connect us to Hashem, and our parents connect us to the foundations of Torah. Without them, we would not be connected to the Torah. We would not have reason necessarily to go to follow the Torah. But they are our living proof that the Torah is true. And Rav Hirsch says that we must obey our parents because they are the ones who transmit Hashem's will to us. And so we must listen to what they say. And Rav Hirsch says that the halachos of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, what Rav Hirsch calls here the unconditional and imposing demands of this mitzvah, he says they transcend by far any moral obligation that ordinary morality, the so-called morality of reason, could deduce from considerations of gratitude. In other words, the Sefer HaChinuch describes Kibbutz Av Ve'Em as an expression of Hakaras HaTov, but Rav Hirsch says it goes beyond that, because the halachos are so imposing, and they require so much of us in what it requires of us to in how we treat our parents and the respect we have for them, and it applies even after the parents' death. It goes so far that it can't just be simply out of gratitude to parents, but it must be something more than that. It's the idea that the parents connect us to the past, and the parents are the way to ensure that the Torah continues in our families, in our nation. And reverses, that's why the pasuk tells us, "Kabedes avicha v'es imecha, l'ma'an ya'arichun yomecha, alho adamo asher Hashem lokecha nosein lach." We must honor our fathers and mother, because so that our days will be long upon the land which Hashem gives us. Because, see, this is the idea of Jewish continuity. L'ma'an yarichun yomecha, our national existence is completely dependent on the parent-child relationship, and on the proper functioning of that relationship, and the value that, and the esteem that children have for their parents. Without that, our days and our land are numbered, because our national existence is endangered. So, because of that, we will have Yarichun Yomecha Al Ha'adamah. So, with this, we can understand why Kibud Av V'Em belongs in the first set of Zibros, the first half, because it really is a Bein Adam LaMakom mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em ensures our connection to Hashem, and ensures that the esteem that we have for our parents enables them to transmit the message of Torah to us, so that we have that relationship to Hashem that He commanded us to have with the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Let's conclude with Rav Hirsch's concluding comments on the Aseres Hadibros, where he summarizes the idea contained in them based on the order of the Aseres Hadibros, and it gives us a conception of what the Torah should be for us and the impact it is meant to have in our lives. So we know that so the Torah the Dibros begin with Anochi Hashem Lokecha and Lo Yelecha, initially addressing our intellect, telling us to believe in Hashem's guidance and Hashem's uniqueness, that there is no other beside Hashem, and that we must acknowledge in our minds, in our hearts, that Hashem is the guiding force in our lives, and recognize what responsibilities we have as a result. But it's not enough just to acknowledge Hashem in theory. We have to express it through our words, and that's Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, not to use Hashem's name in vain. So our words should reflect our understanding of, or our acknowledgement of Hashem. It should also be reflected in our work. That's Zohar Siyom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. When we keep Shabbos, we acknowledge that Hashem is guiding our work, and we discussed this last week in connection with the Mun. And by resting, it infuses our entire resting on the seventh day infuses the work of our previous 6 days and with the spirit of Hashem and seals them with the stamp of Avodas Hashem. And finally, the knowledge of Hashem, or the acknowledgement of Hashem, must be reflected in our family lives as well, in our relationship to our parents through Kabbeis Avicha Vesimecha. So again, the acknowledgement of Hashem is theoretical through Anochi and Lo Yelecha, but then the Dibros tell us how to translate that into reality through our words, our work, and our family lives. Lo Sisa Zochar Hashem HaShabbos L'Kadosho and Kabbeis Avicha Vesimecha. The second Dibros, which are Be'er Adam L'Chavero, which Rav Hirsch calls the social dibros, as opposed to the religious dibros, but he uses those words in quotations. So that begins with instructing us how to act, lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signov, and then also and our words, how we speak, lo sa'anev re'echo e'et shaker. But it's not enough to necessarily work to control our actions and to control our words, but we must also control our thoughts and control our hearts and through lo sachmud beis re'echa, that we must not desire anything that someone else has. We are expected to exercise control over our thoughts as well. So Rav Hirsch says that we see through the succession of the Dibros the following idea. Theoretical acknowledgement of Hashem. If we are religious at heart, that's worthless if that religious feeling is not reflected through our lives and our actions. But the conversely, he says, when it comes to our social interactions, if we act appropriately in the social sphere, that is also meaningless if it does not change us, if it does not change us on the inside and influence who we are deep down internally. So our Anochi and Lo Yelecha informs how we act in our towards Hashem, and our Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signov, our restrictions in how we act towards other people informs who we are, as how we think about other people through the Lo Sachmod. And therefore, Rav Hirsch concludes that every good and upright deed must spring from the heart, and every noble thought must be put into practice, while the eyes of man look steadily up to God. This is the spirit that hovers over the fundamentals of God's Torah and fuses the two tablets, the religious and the social, into one inseparable whole. We see how the Ben Adam, Ben Lamakom, Ben Adam Lachaviro work together, reinforcing the idea that we must serve Hashem through and through, inside and out. And again, it's not necessarily a good thought or a good intention or a religious feeling that's important. It must translate into action. But those actions must also bounce back and impact us too. They go together. Our hearts and our minds, together with our actions and our words, fused together so that we are entirely, our whole personality, our very being, should be entirely dedicated to Hashem. And that's how the Aseres HaDibros come together, really a microcosm of the Torah as a whole, through the fundamentals, which is what the Aseres HaDibros are. Hashem shows us how the Torah should impact us, what it means to live a life of Torah. And that's why the Aseres HaDibros are considered to be the headings for all the other mitzvos that follow.